This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu and it's Raise Your Game. Celestine Chua is a writer and founder of Personal Excellence. You can find her at personalexcellence.co, and it is a professional development website which attracts millions of views monthly and has a global reach that spans over 200 countries. She's fully dedicated to helping others grow and achieve to their highest potential. Today, she'll be speaking to us about the power of language in the arena of business and to encourage us to re-examine how we use language to achieve success so your language affects your success. Good to be speaking to you again, Celestine.
Hey, Freda.
What is the relationship between language and professional success?
Huge relationship. When we think about the kind of people that we work with or we meet on a regular basis, someone who exudes or speaks positive language will naturally be giving out positive energy, will naturally be magnetizing people, and this in a way attracts success to them. As opposed to someone who has negative language, this can be basically draining people in the room that they are in, and it can also be attracting negative situations for them. In a way, if we think about our success as being from this equation, our thoughts leading to our actions, leading to our results, when we are thinking, say, negative language, that will naturally lead to inaction or negative action, which will lead to negative results.
Okay, so what are some common examples of negative language? I think I caught myself doing that yesterday. But anyway.
Okay, well, I'll give 5 examples here. So the first example would be, I won't, as opposed to I will consider. So if you're talking about an idea that the person's reaction is like, oh, I won't do this, I won't do that. So it suggests like a lack of openness and a refusal to new ideas. The second example would be I can't, as opposed to I can. So this suggests like a lack of self-perceived ability. The third would be I don't know how, as opposed to let me figure out how to get this done.
Right.
Okay. The fourth would be I wish I could or I hope I could, as opposed to I can do this. So particularly the word wish or hope, it kind of suggests that the person has an external locus of control where the person assigns power to the external world as opposed to himself or herself.
Mm-hmm.
And other examples would be, say, I think or I'm going to try. It suggests like a hesitancy and a lack of commitment to whatever the goal that the person wants to pursue.
Okay, so how common is this tendency? I think we've all caught ourselves saying these things before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you said you think you caught yourself doing it yesterday, I mean, I can relate to that myself too. And interestingly, I would say everyone, and myself included, is really prone to negative language. So, for example, there may be times when we face an obstacle, say perhaps when we are launching a new project, and then we'll be thinking, can I do this? Or I don't think I can make this work. So when we really consider that all of us have about 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, that's like 35 to 48 thoughts a minute. So there is always a possibility that there's a negative thought here and there that's weaved inside. Rather than saying like, okay, it's more common for this kind of people to have negative language or more common for that kind of people, I would say actually all of us are prone to negative language, and it's more about being conscious of that happening and then addressing that when that happens.
Okay, and hoping that it doesn't set in and become part of your personality.
Definitely.
Okay, but why does it happen if you know some people who are just generally more negative in their language? Does it stem from deeper issues that may be not so simple to identify and therefore address?
Yeah, you are definitely spot on there, Freda. I would say a lot of our negative self-talk or self-thinking, it takes root from when we are young. And this is what I will call childhood stories. And childhood stories are the stories that we tell ourselves that stem from when we are children, usually from between the ages of 0 to 7. That's when we are the most impressionable. So let's say there's an incident that happened, okay, let's say when we are 7 years old and then we just got this math test back home, and then we show like our dad. So when our dad saw that and we got like say 80 upon 100, and then when he saw it, he say like, 80 upon 100 only? That's not good enough. Okay, so that comment, that's not good enough, that sets in, okay, because like as children at that time, we are so impressionable and we are basically starting from blank slates as young. So that then seals in, and then the kid will walk away thinking, oh, that's not good enough.
Wow.
So like from there onwards, the math test could be like 99 upon 100 and the person will just keep telling himself or herself, that's not good enough and that's not good enough. And this can be the story that the person basically keeps saying and walking away even into the adult years or even in the 40s or 50s.
Into the rest of your life, basically.
Exactly.
When you have this kind of language, what impact does it have? You know, how does it breed other habits? Do you then procrastinate? What does it sort of lead to?
it leads back to how our thinking affects our action and then our results. So negative thinking definitely has a huge impact on our actions or inaction in this case.
Okay.
So bringing back to the five types of negative language that I mentioned at the beginning, mm-hmm. like I won't can lead to inability to try new things. So like, I won't do this, I won't do that. Basically just shutting things off. I can't can be leading to lack of self-belief. So affecting the person's confidence. So it's like even if the person actually has the qualifications or the ability, the person just simply always saying I can affect his or her confidence. I don't know how can lead to inaction and procrastination.
Right.
So as opposed to getting things done, the person can always be saying, oh, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. So that's like the go-to excuse for not getting things done.
Mm.
I wish I could, I hope I could, causing hesitancy. And I think, oh, I'm going to try can lead to a lack of commitment to our goals. So let's say we have a goal, and as opposed to saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this done, just saying, I think I'm going to get this done, I'm going to try to get this done. So it already kind of gives a buffer to the person to just not try and give his or her best.
I'll tell you what I said last night. I said I'm fed up.
Oh, okay. What do you think when you were saying that?
It was like, you just want to give up.
Right. And no, then that's perfectly common and normal. And I think it's good that you say that because it's better than repressing that thought.
Okay, so it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, we'll continue our conversation about how your language affects your success. Right after this, I'm here with Celestine Chua. You can find her at personalexcellence.co. It's Raise the Game, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. In case you've just joined us, I'm here with Celestine Chua. You can find her at personalexcellence.co. Our discussion today is your language affects your success. And early on, she was sharing about how it does affect your professional success. You gave us five. I won't, I can't, I don't know, I wish I could, I think, or I'm going to try. So these words actually have an impact into the kind of behavior that we display, right? And of course, I shared you my personal, I'm fed up. Okay, now, how do you first train yourself to ignore self-limiting thoughts? Should you?
Right, and that's what I was saying. I think it's awesome that you are conscious of that thought and you recognize it. Mm. Because I have three tips on how to address self-limiting thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and it all stems from this root principle of not ignoring them. Because I sincerely believe that all of us are actually naturally empowered and positive beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if at any point of time we feel like negative thoughts or we're thinking negative thoughts, it's usually because of a certain incorrect thinking that we have to understand and address them as opposed to ignoring them. Because when we ignore them, they just keep coming back later on, no matter how hard we try to conceal them. Okay, so my three steps to addressing any self-limiting thoughts, I would sum it up as a 1 U and 2 C's. So the first step is to understand. Let's say someone is trying to get his or her book published, mm-hmm. but is facing difficulties. So maybe he's thinking, okay, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough to get my book published. So understand, uncover the root cause. Okay, this thought, this belief, I'm not good enough. When did I start thinking this way?
Right.
And why did I start thinking this way? So going back to childhood stories, usually these beliefs are formed when we are children. So try to trace it back. Like, when did I start thinking this thought, I'm not good enough? Like, who said it? Who put it in my mind?
Right.
And this may well go to, oh, okay, I suddenly remember when I was 10 years old, I was in school, and then this teacher kept telling me all the time that I'm not good enough because he kept comparing me to my schoolmate, my classmate who's sitting beside me.
We do have a lot of repressed memories, huh?
Definitely, yeah. And addressing them one by one can will naturally lead to positive self-thinking. Then this leads to the second step, which is first C is challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge this thought. So, okay, you recognize that incident when the teacher said that to you. Challenge that. Is that really true? I'm not good enough. Is this true or is this just a story someone implanted in my head?
Right.
And then you can be thinking, no, that's not true at all. The teacher just kept saying that I'm not good enough because he kept comparing me based on his own principles on what is good. But I have my own merits. I have my own values and I'm good and unique as myself. Okay, so this is where you challenge that, okay, this thought is actually not true and that I have my, like, there's good things about me.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the third step, the second C, is then to correct. So then, knowing that this isn't true, how can I now correct this belief? Like, what is an empowering belief to replace this self-limiting thought with? And this empowering belief can be, I am good. I can do anything I want in this world, and nothing is impossible. Okay, so that can be, that would then be the belief to correct the self-limiting thought. The important thing here is to know that we have to first understand where it comes from. Some self-empowerment resources tend to teach us to use affirmations, which is important, but using affirmations blindly without understanding where the self-limiting thoughts first originate from can be dangerous, because it's kind of just repressing or covering up the issue without understanding and addressing it at the root.
Okay, so when you talk about how some people say, oh, I can, but there is no self-belief that, right? The fake it till you make it thing, does that apply?
Okay, well, I definitely think that it's possible to even have a I can attitude without self-belief. Okay, so like I think a lot of people will think that, oh, I need to have this qualification or this credential before I can have self-belief and hence have I can attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's actually possible to have self-belief without any prerequisite. So myself as an example, when I started my personal development blog and business in 2008, I didn't have any coaching experience or credentials in the field.
Mm.
Okay, so none at all. Like my background was in marketing, totally nothing to do with coaching or personal development. But this didn't stop me from having like a I can and a I will attitude. And it's precisely because of this that I then began to take the right actions and then naturally succeed in what I'm doing. Okay, so I think the most important thing here is to recognize and realize that we can do whatever it is that we want without any reason or prerequisite. And there's no prerequisite needed for confidence. We can just be confident by recognizing that we have the ability to do so.
Okay, so I think earlier on what you were saying about recognizing and finding out all these things about why do I speak this way, we do have to address that first.
Exactly, yes. And after addressing them duly, you will naturally have that confidence without having to repress or force yourself to feel confident.
Because if not, then you'll go back to the same old cycle, but you need to know where that kind of thinking started.
The root
issues, right? We have to get back to the roots. Okay.
Correct.
Now, here's the other thing is bad habits are hard to break. Now that you know this, how do you maintain the use of empowering lingo in the long term?
I have three tips. The first tip is using a journaling method. So we talked about the three steps: understand, challenge, correct. So whenever we spot ourselves feeling negative or thinking negative thoughts, for example, I feel fed up about this issue, I don't think that I can address this, then using a journaling method helps us to gain insight of our negative language. So like journal and write it out. Why do I feel fed up? Like, why do I feel like I can't address this? And then when doing that, understand where it's coming from, understand where the root childhood issues, challenge it, and then correct that. The second tip I have is, I'm sure some of us have heard this popular quote by Jim Rohn, which is, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Yeah, and what it means is that if we think about what are the five people we spend the most time with, most of the times we are an average of those five people. For example, if we average out the income of those five people, we probably fall in the bracket. Relationship status, singles tend to hang out together, married people tend to hang out together, the state of health and so on. And this includes our thinking.
Right.
So think about what are the empowering people in your field and find ways to spend more time around them. So this will help to
lift your thinking as well.
Exactly. When we are hearing people saying positive talk, it also influences us to think positively too. And the third tip I have is, well, you know how we eat every day to supply our food with energy?
Mm-hmm.
Our minds need food as well. And this is what I call them, our mind food. So just like it's important for us to eat healthily, it's important to feed our minds with healthy food too. And this includes supplementing it with empowering resources like reading empowering books, websites, listening to empowering radio stations like BFM.
Or go to personalexcellence.co.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, feed it with the good stuff. And that's where your mind will naturally be thinking positive as well.
Okay, thanks for being with us. You know, I have to say I'm not fed up anymore.
Yeah, that's great. You didn't sound fed up at all. It's all very, very positive.
Thanks for being with us. I look forward to speaking to you again. Celestine Chua from personalexcellence.co. Your language affects your success. Raising Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.